You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Chapter 4, and if you would, please look at verse number 9. Again, we read these verses earlier. The Bible says, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." Now, I do want to just take a moment to explain that this is a vision that John got to see for him, which was future events of what was going to take place after the rapture in heaven. And so these things are all representative of something. Verse 10, "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So we were created to please God. That's why we are here. Say, what's my purpose on earth? Your purpose on earth is to find out what makes God smile and do that. That's your purpose. But I want you to see why. Tonight, if I were to ask you, how many of you love God tonight? I would hope that everyone would be like, yes, me, I love God. And I think you would, right? We'd all say that. Can I ask you the next question? Why? Why do you love God? Why should we give God our life? Why should we let God have control? Why do we love God? I think if we were to start listing some things, we would hopefully among the top of those things would be salvation. Boy, I'm so thankful for salvation. I love God because he sent Jesus Christ, God the Son in the flesh, to die on the cross for my sins. And I know that would be the top of our list. I know the Bible would be there. I know, the things that he has given us. But I want you to see tonight that God doesn't have to do anything to deserve our love. He doesn't have to do anything to deserve our praise. Because look at that verse again, verse 11. Why? "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." The word worthy means deserving. Thou art deserving. It means a due reward. It's something that is due to him. It's suitable. Thou art worthy and deserving, Lord. Now, I want you to notice that the reason listed here that he is worthy is that he created everything. Why? Why is he worthy? To receive glory and honor and power. "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." It doesn't say that God is worthy because of salvation. It doesn't say that God is worthy because of the blessings he gives us. It doesn't say that God is worthy because of the protection that he gives to us and our family. It doesn't say he's worthy because of the family he's given us, or the life he's given us, or the breath he's given us, or the home he's given us, or the good health that he's given us. I want you to know tonight that God is worthy because of who he is. And I want to preach to you tonight on the topic of who he is. That's why we ought to love him, because of who he is. Father, I pray tonight you'd bless and anoint this message. May it be something that stirs us and gets us to think in a different way about how we ought to show our love towards you and live our lives for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It was probably 2 years ago almost now, the next Mother's Day that comes up, it'll be 2 years. Titus and I were making a Mother's Day card. Maybe it was 3 years ago, but we were making a Mother's Day card. I don't have the greatest memory. It could have been 7 years ago, and I wouldn't remember, all right? But we were making a Mother's Day card, and I began to, I ask the kids questions sometimes, and I'll ask them funny questions so that I can put it on the card. You know, here's the response. Like one time I asked, how much do you think mommy weighs? Probably not a smart question. And, Zoe was like, 500 pounds, and I was like, we're in trouble. If I'm putting this on there, we are in trouble, okay? And, I had some keto jokes right there. I'm going to leave alone. But anyway, I remember we were making that card, and he and I were talking, and I said, okay, Titus, I said, I want you to tell me why you love mommy. And, this was a couple years ago, and he's like, well, because of all the things she does for me. I was like, okay, well, let's elaborate on that. He said, well, she buys me stuff. I thought, well, that's not a bad reason, but, you know, can we elaborate further? What do you mean? And he said, well, because of all the gifts and all the stuff she buys. And I was like, okay. I was like, let me lead you in a different way here, okay? And, you know, trying to force him to give the answer that I want so I can put it on the paper or whatever. And so I just kind of said, well, let's talk about more about, you know, some things you like about mommy. What do you love about mommy? And that sort of thing. And so I kind of made him change his answer. And so, you know, we wrote the card and everything. Then it was a couple days later, I was, you know, just in my devotional time, and I was spending time with God, and I began to just thank God, and I began to praise Him, and I began to say, Lord, I love You, and I just want to thank You for salvation, and thank You for all the good health You've given, and thank You for, you know, the home that You've given us, and the family that You've given us. And I began to, and I just stopped for a second, and I was convicted because I realized I was doing the exact same thing that I told my son to change his answer for. I began to think, am I really only thanking God because of what He's done for me? There's a problem with that. You say, well, Pastor, what's wrong with that? I think we ought to thank God for what He's done for us, and I'll get to that in a minute. But when you only thank God for what He's done for you, pretty soon you're going to come across a time in life where it doesn't seem like much is being done for you on your behalf. You go through the valley. And then do you feel like God doesn't love you? Do you feel like you don't owe God love? And sometimes that happens. And so I begin to get convicted that, boy, I ought to praise God and thank God not just for what He's done for me. Because if He did nothing else for me, He still deserves my praise. And He still deserves me to worship Him because of who He is. God was telling me that I ought to love Him not just for the things He's done, but for who He is. I think about it this way. I didn't fall in love with my life. I didn't fall in love with my wife because of what she could do for me. You know, well, can you cook? Yes? Okay, all right. Well, no, that overcomes everything else, so that's more important. I didn't fall in love with her because of what she could do for me, and vice versa. She didn't fall in love with me because of what I could do for her. She fell in love with me because I was as handsome, strapping, strong. Why are y'all laughing right now, okay? No pie tonight, all right? And a strapping, strong, handsome man. Now, years later, that's all gone. And you know what? She still loves me. And why? Because she didn't love me because of who, what I could do for her. She loved me for who I am. And for some reason, and that's why we're still married. And and it's amazing to me that she does love me. And of course, I love her for who she is. Say, Pastor, does it really matter why we love God? Yes, it does matter. I think we ought to love God for two reasons. And of course, we could list a million, but because of who He is and what He's done, that's why we ought to praise Him. But I look at it this way. When I gave my wife our engagement ring, okay, I've told you the story before. It was on a hot air balloon over the Napa Valley, right? And so we're up in this hot air balloon, and I had this ring in my pocket, and I was prepared to give her this engagement ring. And so we're up in the hot air balloon, and I'm nervous the whole time, you know, just sweaty palms and just kind of, you know, trying to get up the courage to do this whole thing. And the operator guy was like, hey, you know, we're going to be heading down now. And so I was like, it's now or never, right? I mean, if I'm going to do this, I better do it now. So I pull out the ring, and I kneel down, and I ask her, would you marry me? And she said no. No, I'm kidding. She said yes. And, you know, the thing, you know what my wife did not do? And imagine if she did. If she just, now I have a little rubber ring here because my metal ring for some reason doesn't fit my finger anymore. And have any of you men run across this problem? I guess I didn't know you could get muscles in your finger, but anyway, so I've got these little rubber ones because I don't want to pull my finger off or something. And if I were to give her that ring and she were to take it and I say, will you marry me? And she takes it, runs and shows to her mom, and runs and shows to her sister. And then, you know, a couple days later, I still haven't heard from her. And she's like, look at this ring. And she hasn't called me. She hasn't talked to me. She hasn't even said yes. And she's just going around showing everybody the ring. I would feel like, you know, you really didn't get the gist of this, Faith. You know, the ring is to symbolize that we are going to be together. I think you missed the intention there. Now, look, did I want her to love the ring? Yes, I wanted her to love the ring. I wanted her to be thankful for the ring, but I also wanted her to put the ring on the finger and say, I'd love to spend the rest of my life with you, and you are more valuable to me than any ring could ever be. You see, sometimes we thank God for the ring, and we've got the ring running around. I'm saved, and I'm this, and I'm that. But we're forgetting and neglecting the very fact of who God is and who we are, the bride of Christ, who we are married to. And he is worthy because of who he is, not just what he has done for us. And again, I think we ought to be thankful for what he's done, but we ought to be thankful for who he is too. Sometimes we'll pray things like, Lord, I love you. You're so good to me. Now, can you give me? And we have these list of things. Have you ever spent time in prayer with God where you spent a long season of prayer with God, but you didn't ask for one thing? Have you ever done that? Now, I know prayer, the word prayer means to ask, but there, you know, there are a lot of things involved in prayer, of thanksgiving and confession, all this. That's all part of prayer. But have you ever just spent time with God for a length of time where you really didn't ask God for anything? I remember one time, probably 6 months ago, I was praying in my morning devotion, and I began to just walk around, and I felt like I was just bringing God my Christmas list. You know what I mean? I felt like I was just coming to God saying, I need this and bless this person and do this. And I just began to kind of get sick in my stomach of myself. You ever get sick of yourself? Like, you know, we need some growth here. You know, we need something different here. And I began to just pray and say, you know what, God? I just said in my prayer time, and I should do this more often, but I said, I am not going to ask you for one thing today. All I want is to be in your presence for the next however long you want me. And I tell you, that to me was one of the sweetest times of prayer. I just began to thank God for every little thing I could think of. And I got to tell you, it was a long time later, and I had not run out of things to praise God for. I'm telling you, we ought to get to the point from time to time where we're just thanking God for who he is and for what he's done, yes, but for the very fact of who he is. I want you to take your Bible, go to Psalm 116, please. Psalm 116, if you would. Psalm 116. And again, I'm going to talk to you just for a second here about the very fact that, yes, God has done plenty of things for us to show that he loves us, and we ought to love him because of those things as well. What I'm saying is he deserves our love for a lot of things. But even if he never did another thing for us, the very fact of who he is worthy of our love and our admiration and of giving our lives for his sake. Look, if you would, at Psalm 116, verse 1. I love this verse. I love the Lord. That's just a good way to start a psalm. I love the Lord. Why? Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. David, the psalmist here, was saying, yes, I love God. Why? Because he listens to me because of what he's done for me, and I will call upon him as long as I live because of what he's done for me. So absolutely, there is biblical ground. Love God for what he has done. In 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, and we ought to love him because of that. There's so many things God has done. Even Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So yes, he has done all of these things, and for all of those things, he deserves love. Did you know that God tells us to love him? In the New Testament, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body. Did you know he tells us how to love him? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So God is very interested in us loving him. But again, I want to make mention. Yes, love God because you're saved. And love God because of your church. And love God because of your family. And love God because of the Bible. And love God because of your health and what he's done for you and how he's brought you through things. But also spend some time loving on God because of who he is. Because he deserves it. For the very fact of his person, who God is, the person of Jesus Christ, he deserves our love because he's worthy. I want to give you just a few quick thoughts tonight and we'll be done. The who and not the what. Number one, love God for who he is. Love God for who he is. God is love, and God proved it. He is long-suffering. Think about that. He's long-suffering. Has God ever been long-suffering with you? Where you've been a knucklehead and you've done things you ought not do, and yet he has not cast you off and forsaken you? Yeah, God's long-suffering. He's merciful. He's a merciful God. He doesn't give us what we really deserve. That's mercy. And if you deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. He's merciful to us when we don't deserve it, yet he gives us that. He's gracious. He gives us more than we could ever deserve. He's compassionate. And the list goes on and on. I often wonder sometimes why people turn away from God. I don't get it. Why would you ever turn away from the person of Jesus Christ? Maybe because they think God didn't give them something when they thought they needed it. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, remember Moses was going to Pharaoh and he said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And he said, "The I am that I am, hath sent me." That's who you tell him sent you. And Jesus in the New Testament said, "I am." What's he mean by that? It means whatever you need him to be, he is. You need strength? God says, "I am." You need you need help? He's your help. You need salvation? He's your salvation. You need hope? He's your hope. He's whatever you need him to be. That's who God is. Love God for who he is. Can I say secondly? Love your spouse for who they are. Love your spouse for who they are. Now, men, if you've got a wife with looks and cooks, that's a good thing. All right? Looks and cooks, all right? Teenage guys, looks and cooks. No. Character. I always tell our teenage guys, character is important, all right? Well, she's so pretty, but I can't stand her personality. Problem. Well, you know, he's a simple-minded man, but I can change him. Problem. All right? And look, I'm all for growth. I mean, it is our theme this year, but this idea is so funny that we marry someone for who they are, we fall in love with them, and then we spend the rest of our lives trying to change them. Let's just love our spouse for who they are. Teenagers, can I implore you to fall in love with a person because they love Jesus? And because they're spiritual, and they're respectful, and they're obedient to their authority, and they honor their authority, they honor their parents. Winston Churchill said, "My most brilliant achievement was my ability to be able to persuade my wife to marry me." I read that and I was like, bingo. You know, that's the greatest achievement I've had, you know, is that I was able to persuade my wife to marry me. She needed glasses for years. I refused to buy them for her. I didn't want her to see what she married. But I love that. Another quote is this: "Marriage is a relationship in which one person is always right and the other is the husband." That's sad. Hope that's not true. Love God for who he is. Love your spouse for who they are. Can I say thirdly, love your family for who they are, not who you wish they were. Love your family for who they are, not who you wish they were. Who's got a perfect family in here? No sin in your family? Anybody? No sin in your family? Zoe? Good. All right. Wonderful. Okay. All right. Where's my wallet, darling? Okay. And I'm glad they feel that way. Titus, you do too? Okay. All right. Good. But that's wonderful. I didn't train them to do that, but that's just great. Okay. But none of us have a perfect family. None of us grew up in a perfect home. All of us have baggage. All of us have issues. All of us have stuff that we've had to deal with and go through. And some of you already know that this week you're like, "Oh, that cousin is coming over." Oh, maybe you're that cousin, by the way. I don't know. But, "Oh, that uncle is coming over. He always pinches my cheek. They always do this or that." And you know there's drama. You know you have some family members that they just bring drama like this in suitcases. Everywhere they go, there is just drama, and you're going to hear about it. Listen, love your family because of who you wish they were. And I wish they were like this. Love them. The amazing thing about God is he loves us where we're at, but he refuses to leave us that way. He helps us grow. Our church, we love people in this church not for who they could be or what they could do for us. We want to love people where they're at and then get them to the next step. And then we want to love them there and then give them to the next step as well. You know, loving family for who they are, we parents do this automatically at birth. You ever heard of parent goggles? Parent goggles basically is when a child is born and it's your child, no matter how ugly that baby is, you think it's the most precious little darling thing you've ever seen. And I'm sure probably as grandparents it even magnifies by 10. I don't know. But, and you think your baby is the most precious baby ever born. And others may completely disagree with you, you know, when they look at your baby. But You don't see it because you've got parent goggles. I remember my grandfather was talking one time about my uncle. My mom's dad was talking about my uncle, my mom's brother. And he was just sitting in the living room one time talking to me and my dad. He's like, I got to tell you, my uncle's name is Lee. He said, Lee was the ugliest baby I've ever seen in my entire life. And my dad and I looked at each other and just lose it. And he's just like, bro, there was a good chance my grandfather had a little too much to drink too. But anyway, he was, that's true, but he was sitting there and he was like, ah, that boy was the ugliest kid I've ever seen. And he went on and on and on. And we're just sitting there dying laughing. I felt bad for Uncle Lee, but still, sometimes we have those goggles. We just have a love for them. Man, encourage you teenagers again. Love your parents for who they are, not just what they do for you. We get spoiled sometimes. We just expect that our parents are going to buy us things, and you kids as well. And they're going to give us this, and we're going to get that. They're going to provide for you. Why do you love your parents? Well, they provide for me. They do this for me. But I'd love to hear teens and kids say, I love my parents because my mom is kind, because my dad loves God, because my mom prays, because my dad has character, and he goes to work, and he provides. And I'd love to hear things like that. That's a good reason. But love your family for who they are, not who you wish they were. Love God for who he is. Love your spouse. Love your family. And then I say lastly, love your church. Love your church. You know, our church is a group of imperfect people. Anywhere you look in here, except for my family, apparently, anywhere else you look, there is imperfection. And that's okay. Let's love each other. May I encourage you, don't let issues simmer. Don't let schisms form. Get things right. If you have aught against your brother, if you have a problem against someone, go to them and get it settled. And don't involve everyone else either. Be mature and act like adults and go get something settled and get things right between your brother or sister, because we're family. We're family. Get it right. Get it right. Tonight, I want to encourage you, don't just love for what you get in return. Don't just love for what you get in return. Love for the right reasons. Are you in love with God tonight because of who he is? And I love God for what he's done, because boy, he has done a lot for us. But let's also not forget the fact that he's God and he's worthy and all the things that he is in his perfection. And we ought to just love him. And I hope tonight that you will spend some time just with God, whether it be at the altar in a minute, whether it be at home before you go to bed, whether it be with your spouse before you go to sleep, whether it be with your kids before they go to bed, whether it be in your living room or whatever, where you just spend time saying, you know what, God, I want to tell you how great you are. You already know, but I'm going to tell you how great you are anyway, and I want to love you because of who you are.